I'm super passionate about this morning's talk. Hey, the launching scripture here today that's really going to catapult this talk, we're going to find out of this book of Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 7. And so we're going to land on that verse. But before we do, I feel like I want to read two other verses before we get to Song of Solomon here this morning. And it's this. It's Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. It says this. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And Psalm chapter 139, verse 13 says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." And lastly, Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7. Can we all read this together on the screen? Ready? 1, 2, 3. "You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, the power and truth behind your word. And as we pray weekly, God, here at Journey Church, we pray that the power and truth of your word would come to life inside of our lives, God. Let's have an experience with that power and that truth, God, as we go and live it out from this place in the lives you've given us. Guide me, Lord, every word I speak, that it would not be the opinion of man, but an echo of what you're saying to us, your people here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm a forensic artist. Worked for the San Jose Police Department from 1995 to 2011.
I showed up to a place I'd never been, and there was a guy with a drafting board.
We couldn't see them, they couldn't see us.
Tell me about your hair.
I didn't know what he was doing, but then I could tell after several questions that he was drawing me.
Tell me about your chin.
It kind of protrudes a little bit, especially when I smile.
Your jaw?
My mom told me I had a big jaw.
What would be your most prominent feature?
I kind of have a fat, rounder face.
The older I've gotten, the more freckles I've gotten.
I would say I have a pretty big forehead.
Once I get a sketch, I say thank you very much, and then they leave. I don't see them.
All I had been told before the sketch was to get friendly with this other woman, Chloe.
Today I'm gonna ask you some questions about a person you met earlier, and I'm gonna ask you some general questions about their face.
She was thin, so you could see her cheekbones. And her chin, it was a nice, thin chin.
She had nice eyes. They lit up when she spoke.
Cute nose.
She had blue eyes, very nice blue eyes.
So here we are. This is the sketch that you helped me create. And that's a sketch that somebody described of you.
So yeah, that's...
She looks closed off and fatter, sadder too. Mm-hmm. The second one looks more open, friendly, and happy.
Mm-hmm. I should be more grateful of my natural beauty. It impacts the choices and the friends that we make, the jobs we apply for, how we treat our children. It impacts everything. It couldn't be more critical to your happiness.
Do you think you're more beautiful than you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
We spend a lot of time as women analyzing and trying to fix the things that aren't quite right. And we should spend more time appreciating the things that we do like.
Man, I love that commercial. If you have been on the internet, I'm sure you saw it trend its way in front of you here in just the last couple of months. there was a question asked at the end of that commercial there to one of the ladies, and the sketch artist asked, "Do you think you're more beautiful than you say?" And her response was, "Yeah." So I'm watching this commercial, and my mind starts racing. Mike, can you show the still frame of the two pictures side by side? Do you remember that lady? Right, she was the blonde lady. And I'm watching this, and first, you know, my question is, like, what made her view herself like this? Because how she saw herself, which is represented by the picture on the left, which you saw a little bit more close up in the video, was not at all reality, correct? I mean, it was not at all reality. And this commercial, and compliments to Dove, man, it made me want to buy everything, Dove, for putting it together, like, exposes something very powerful, that we can be influenced to become blind to our beauty. We can be influenced to be blind to our own beauty. Let me ask you this question. What to you is beautiful? Like, think about it just for a moment. Because I think that question carries with it countless answers as to, you know, what we view as beautiful. Because, I mean, we're all different people, different backgrounds, different views, different interpretations on what we see as truly beautiful. Because there's an old saying, right? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? We know that statement, meaning that what is beautiful to you may not necessarily be considered beautiful to someone else, and what is beautiful to me may not necessarily be considered beautiful to you. I remember I was at a family's home that was a part of the church that I worked at in Ohio, and we were at their home having dinner, and throughout the course of dinner, I hear in the background, arf, 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 just this tiny little bark of a dog, and you know, it was just kind of interrupting the conversation at times, and you know, we were getting to be right around dessert, and I said, you know, you must have a little dog back there, and they said, yeah, we do. You know, we didn't want to bring him out because he's just so, or she's so influential, you know, like we didn't want her to bother you during dinner or anything like that, because she can just look at you in a way, you just get you to give her whatever, you know. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I said, would you like to see her? And I said, oh, I'd love to see your little puppy dog, you know. And so they went back and they said, okay, here we go. And then they bring out this. Now, this isn't the actual dog, but this is as close as it can be. This doesn't even do it justice. And if you were to look at this dog, I mean, it was crazy that this thing was just in existence. And it was just laying in her arm. And I'm staring at what seems to be the spawn of Satan himself. And she's sitting there and looking at me. And this dog is just like looking at me. And then the question inevitably follows, isn't she beautiful? And I'm thinking, no. Like, let's go put this thing out of its misery. Just for being alive, it's just in pain. Like, this is not at all beautiful. Right? Because we all have a standard of beauty, don't we? We all have a standard of beauty. And in the same way, there is a standard of beauty in Scripture. We see in Scripture a standard of beauty, and it rests within the pages of this Bible. I'm talking cover to cover. We see that there are many things in here that God sees and that God declares and that God calls and that God considers beautiful that you and I often don't see and declare and call and consider beautiful. Like ourselves, for example. Like you. If I could put a title to this real talk today, it would be this: seeing yourself as beautiful. And I think this is a perfect Mother's Day message today. And fellas, don't turn me off, because this applies to you. After our talk last night at our Wentzville campus, I had a young man come to me at the door with tears in his eyes and said, thank you for this talk. He said, because I'd been feeling just ugly all week. I'm telling you, I think this is also a perfect Mother's Day message today, because it saddens my heart to see the pressure that exists outside these walls in a society that has caused mothers in this room, that has caused women in this room in general, that has caused teenagers, teenage girls and teenage boys and men, frankly, everybody in this room to see themselves as something other than what God's Word says about you. Genesis 1:27, that we were made in His image. Psalm 139, that we were knitted together by the hands of God Almighty, that His works are wonderful, to which you are His work. And Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 7, that you are altogether beautiful and there is no flaw found in you, that we see ourselves other than that. Because we all know, and I'm passionate about this here this morning, so hear my passion, because I'm not at all angry if you're new. You're like, man, this guy keeps screaming, but I'm just passionate to get this point across, because we all know that in our society, there is this quote unquote standard of beauty as to what is beautiful and as to who is beautiful, and it ain't us. It's like they show you it's not you, and that you need to do things to arrive at that standard. That standard is preached everywhere, in the commercials that we watch on television, to the posters that sit outside mall shops when we're walking down the mall, where we see these beautiful people, where we see the standard of beauty in our society, and it reveals to us that we are simply not measuring up. So to get there, we've got to pry our way and buy our way to that standard to become what society says we should become. And now society is taking it up another level with a trend that is rising in popularity like never before, and it's called plastic surgery. Now, plastic surgery isn't new. It's been around for a while, but it has risen in popularity like never before. And the reason I say that is that last year, in 2014 alone, there were 16 million Americans that went under the knife. 16 million people last year went under the knife in our country to make themselves look better, to look beautiful. And if we just got real, I mean, if we just got real, right? Real talk, because you know me, I'm always trying to search for the why behind the what. I'm always trying to search for the cause to the effect. If we just got real, the reason behind why the overwhelming majority of the 16 million people last year who had plastic surgery, and I'm not talking about someone who had been dramatically injured and needs reconstructive surgery. I'm talking about, you know, the nose jobs and the liposuctions, you know, and the facelifts and the breast augmentations is because some people just don't like the way they look. I mean, if you just got real, people don't like the way they look. They're not happy with the way that they see themselves, and so they need a pick-me-up moment. You know, they need to feel better about themselves. I mean, who doesn't want to feel better about themselves? And so they want to do whatever it takes in their mind to feel beautiful. So why, though, going back to the two pictures in the lady with the Dove commercial, why would someone view themselves like this? Why would someone see themselves as something that they are not? And I know it's hard to see, but the picture on the left, which is the picture that she gave, the description she gave to the sketch artist of herself, in no way represented who this precious woman really was and really is. Why? I believe the problem parallels with our spiritual condition. Like in hunting for the answer why, I believe that the answer is often found in our spiritual condition. Because if you were to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when sin, I mean, you're talking two beautiful people, right? God created them. When sin first made its presence known in their lives and in the lives of humanity ever since, and just trust me here, as a student of his word, I am a student of this. I will never consider myself a professor of this. I'll never consider myself being a master of understanding this. There are several pieces of this puzzle I don't understand. To tell you that I do, I would be lying, but I'm a student of it. I have learned it, and I'll always continue to learn it, but I've studied sin. And its effect on us as people to great lengths. And let me, can I tell you something? One catastrophic effect that we, you and I, experience in our lives with sin is that sin, by nature, makes us feel ugly. By nature, it makes us feel ugly. Sin, and you can see this displayed in life after life throughout Scripture. You can see it displayed, I mean, psychologically, in life after life in humanity, that sin has a way of robbing us of our confidence and destroying our self-esteem, because sin preaches a message of blemish. Sin preaches a message of fault. Sin, it puts your eyes and it focuses in on your blemishes. And you begin to loathe yourself, don't you? When you're struggling with sin, you almost begin to hate yourself. And you begin to look within to the negative parts of your life. And before you know it, you're just drowning in this loathe. Sin keeps you and entraps you to view just the negative aspects and the blemished parts of you. You just got real, friends. The fact of the matter is, these physical symptoms are rooted in spiritual struggles. And this applies with many things in life. A lot of our physical symptoms are rooted in spiritual struggles. It's not a strange concept that what happens in here, in my heart and in my mind, that what happens in here affects me out here. Headaches, for example. If you were just to break down headaches, which is something we experience out here, headaches, did you know, are often an indication of excessive tension. They can be caused by strong external demands, but also by excessive ambitiousness. Watch me. And striving for perfection is often a tie to a headache. Medical experts just connected perpetual worrying to be linked to become a direct cause of many of the headaches we experience. Worrying. And I could go on and on and on, that what happens on the outside of our lives is often tied to the battle taking place on the inside of our lives. And so often with sin, what happens is, especially in America, where this commercialized standard of beauty and this commercialized standard of happiness and what is beautiful is thrown in our faces everywhere we look. And if you got this struggle going on in your life with sin and you see that, we end up walking out and around life feeling incomplete. We walk out feeling inferior. And when we put our eyes on those posters in our commercials, and we start to compare ourselves with others, and we start to believe the world's standard of beauty, we begin to see everyone more beautiful than us, and the disease of insecurity begins to entrap our confidence. Can I just say a thing? Before we change here, right, and I'm not slamming people that change here, but let me just say this, before we change here, let's ensure that we are experiencing change in here. Can somebody say a good amen in this room right now? Make sure that we are experiencing change on the inside. Listen, I'm not slamming dressing nice or getting your hair did or getting the makeup on until the break of dawn and you're looking fine and all that type of stuff. I'm not slamming getting the latest and the greatest and applying it to your life or makeovers and all that stuff. But before we need a makeover out here, let's make sure sure we're getting a makeover inside of our lives before we seek out the plastic surgeon who will promise you great looks, who will promise you with his book, great looks. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you were to walk into a plastic surgeon office, they are going to give you the book. And the book is a photography album of his clients, of his work history. You can see, this is what I did, and this is what I can do in you. Did you hear what I said? This is what I did, and this is what I can do in you. And the book serves to make you confident that you won't end up looking like a Bruce Jenner or something like that, or Brenda Jenner, whatever it is now. I don't know. Like plastic surgery, you know what I'm saying? I'm taking you on a road. All right, let's take him off the screen, amen, or whatever. You know, it's just one of those things. Like, you know, it just gives you confidence that you won't end up looking like that. It's just, I am going to make you look absolutely good. That book will show you this is what I did and this is what I can do to you. Can I tell you something? Before we seek out the plastic surgeon, I believe we should seek out the spiritual surgeon, the great physician. His name is Jesus, and his clients are seen all throughout these pages. That's what I love about his book. You can see in page after page after page, person after person after person, where he says, this is what I did and this is what I can do in you. You can look around you. There are people in this room I could single out right now and create a 52-week series of messages on the change that has happened in the lives around you of what Jesus Christ has done to people that open up their lives and say, come on in and change me from the inside out. People in Scripture, like the woman at the well. Let's just look in God's photography book for a second. I love the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. It opens up in the chapter. It says that Jesus is tired. He's weary. He's got like this insane demand of ministry on his life, and so he escapes and kind of has a moment of solitude and walks off to a city called Samaria outside of Israel. And he goes to Samaria, and it says in verse 6 that he's sitting down at a well. And in verse 7 it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw some water. And Jesus says to the woman, give me something to drink, please. Check out what the woman says. It says, the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, asks for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For we all know that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus responds to her in verse 10 and says, if you only knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you'd be the one asking for the drink from me, and you'd be asking for a whole lot more than just water. You'd be asking for living water. You'd be asking for life change. You'd be asking for everything if you only knew who I was. And then in the verses to follow, you see this dialogue taking place where Jesus starts to unveil who he is to the Samaritan woman who seems to be keeping him at a distance. And he says to the Samaritan woman, he says to her in verse 16, he says, hey, why don't you go and get your husband and bring him over here? And she says, but sir, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right, you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had 5 husbands. And the man you're with now ain't your husband. And you're living with him. And she says, what? You must be a prophet or something. Like, who are you really? And then she gets interested. You start to see like the veil come off. You start to see the mask come off. Oh, I wish we would just do this with God. Just take the masks off. And she starts to open her life up because she's starting to see what he can do in her life. And then they start to have this incredible discussion where he releases some incredible word to her about life change. And you know, that's where we find the infamous scripture where Jesus says God is spirit, and that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Most people don't know that scripture that we use all the time was in the context of a conversation he had with a Samaritan woman who was keeping him at the surface, who was tired, kept everything was on the outside of her life, and she tried to live life doing right, feeling right, doing messed up, and just had so many issues. And Jesus is like, let's get past that, and let's get into your heart. Let's deal with the issues here. that are going on in your life. And she starts to let him in even more and even more and even more and even more. And all of a sudden, she starts to believe him, and she experiences life change. And at this well in John chapter 4, this little old woman with this past that everyone beat her over the head with, Jesus didn't care about. He's not interested in her past. He's interested in launching her and catapulting her to a future. And she gets changed, friends. On the inside out, she experiences forgiveness, friends, on the inside, and it starts to make its way on the outside, and she starts to experience change, friends, at such a level that in verse 39 it says that many other Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. I'm talking to you what he did to a woman who struggled with five broken marriages can do in your life. You may be sitting here with just one broken marriage. You may be sitting here with just whatever's broken in your past, feeling like you can't let anybody in, or you can't experience change, or you're ugly because of what has happened to you. Jesus tells you it is what is inside of you is what I'm after to make you beautiful from the inside out. Let me do my work in your life. Let him open you up, friends. Let's get under his knife in here before anybody tries to open you up out here. Like the man with the withered hand in Mark chapter 3. I love this story in Mark chapter 3. Because it's in Mark chapter 3 where we see this guy. It says that Jesus says to a man, it said in verse 3, who had a withered hand. Now that means the hand is jacked up all crazy. Like, it is withered. It is withering away. There's some disease that has allowed this man to have a ridiculous weakness. And it says, Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, step forward. And it says, the man with the withered hand steps forward. And check this out. In verse 5, he said to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. And scripture says, and he stretched what? It out. What was it that he stretched out? The hand. Which one? Because it doesn't say that he was the man with the withered hands. It was the man with the withered hand. That means he had one bad hand and one good hand. But Jesus wasn't interested in the good hand coming out. But isn't that what we like to do so often? We like to show people the good part of our life. We like to stretch out the good stuff. We like to expose and show everybody that the parts of our life that are working just fine and working just right. But Jesus isn't interested in seeing all that's working good. He wants what's withered in your life. He wants what's hurt in your life. You got to understand the culture that they are in right now when Jesus says, stretch out your hand. This is a culture that doesn't celebrate blemish. This is a culture that disgusts blemish. This is a place where if you had leprosy, you've heard us say this before, and you were walking down the road, you had to scream out your ailment. You had to scream out your blemish just to get people out of the way. If you had leprosy, you had to scream, leprosy! Leper! Leper coming your way! Move! Can you imagine doing that in the aisle of Walmart? This is a place that is not celebrating blemishes. This is a place that is disgusted by your blemish. And so we have every right to believe in Scripture that this withered hand was tucked away inside of this robe this man had. And Jesus said, stretch out your hand. He could have stretched out the good one, but it says he stretched it. He stretched the bad one out. He exposed the weakness in front of everybody that has been disgusted with it. He let out the hurt, and it says that he stretched it out, friends. Isn't that what it says? He stretched it out and his hand, what happened? Was completely restored. He could have stretched out the good one like we like to do, but he showed Jesus the weak area of his life. He let him in deep there, friends. He didn't keep him at the surface with everything that was good. He let him in, friends. That tells me something very encouraging about myself. I don't want to be surface in my relationship with God. I don't want to be surface in my walk with God. I don't want to be surface in my conversation with God. I want to get real with God. I don't want to show God just the good parts of my life. I don't want to show God just the good parts of my marriage. I want to show him the messed up parts of my marriage. I don't want to show God just the good parts of the Kiro's family. I want to show him the messed up parts of the Kiro's family. I don't want to show him and talk just about the good parts of Jesse. I want to talk about the jacked up parts of Jesse, because it's the jacked up parts of Jesse that need Jesus. It's the jacked up parts of Jesse that need him, friends. It's where I need healing. It's where I need help. I want to show him my heart hurt. I want to show him my wounds. I want to show him the hidden stuff, because I want him to do a miracle in my life, like the man with the withered hand. Some of you got a withering marriage. Some of you got a withering family. Some of you got some areas in your life that are withering. Let it out. And let him work on you. Physical symptoms are often a result of spiritual struggle. Let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus tell you how to look. Again, I'm not slamming dressing nice, sugar and spice and everything nice. I'm not slamming getting your best on. I'm not slamming makeovers. But friends, let me say it one more time before we do a makeover out here. Let's have a makeover in here. My wife used to watch this TV show called What Not to Wear. Anybody ever seen that show? I admit, I stinking love that show. I loved it. I never admitted it. I'd be like, turn that off, hoping that she wouldn't, because I just like it. Because in the show, like, there's these two very charismatic hosts, and they come out, and they're the ones that are going to tell you what not to wear and what you need to wear. And then they always bring in this couple that literally, as soon as you see them, you're like, yeah, those people gave up on life a long time ago. Like, the dude is wearing jeans from 1978. The dude hasn't bought a new pair. He doesn't even fit him anymore. Stuff flopping out over the top of the jeans. Got holes in it. AC/DC t-shirt. He lifts his arm up, huge hole, just showing all of his secrets. It's just all there. And he got a mullet, like, back in the day, that would even make 80s people blush. Like, it was crazy. You just see these people that have given up. The lady then, she's just wearing sweatpants. She don't care. She doesn't even have, she had flip-flops that don't flip or flop. They're barely hanging on. She's just like, oh, this is me. They don't care at all. And then I love the host coming in and like, oh, no, 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 no. You are all wrong. Look at the gun. This is what not to wear, you know. And you need to get out of yesterday and get into today. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's the body of Christ. We're like those people, man. On the not the host, but we're like the people that are just wearing the old stuff. Because I see people, man, even in the people of God in the church, like, we decide to get our wardrobe on in our spiritual closets, and, you know, we'll just say, you know what, I feel like today I'm gonna put on guilt. I think I'm just going to wear some guilt today. I feel bad over the things that I've done. I'm tired of the hurt. You know, I wasn't a good dad in this part of my life. And I think I'm just going to think on that and feel bad about that. Or, you know what, I may be a mom and I may have messed up in a few areas of my life. And I think I'm just going to walk around feeling bad. And I'm just going to feel guilty over the things that I've done and walk around and punish myself all all day. Or, you know, I'll see Christians walk in and get in their spiritual closets and just go, you know what, I think I'm going to put on today. I think I'm just going to wear hurt today. I think I'm just going to wear it. I think I'm going to put it on today because this person said whatever about me, and I heard gossip about me, and that hurt my feelings, and I think I'm just going to steam on that thing all day. I'm just going to walk around and be hurt because this person didn't do this for my life. This person didn't play this role for my life. I think I'm just going to walk around today and woe is me day. That's what it's going to be. I'm just going to hurt today because of the hurt, the unfairness that's happened in my life. Or I'll see people come in and they'll get in their closets and go, you know what, I think I'm just going to wear my past today because I don't seem to stop struggling. I'll always be what I have always been. There's no change. There's no tomorrow in my life. I guess my yesterday was always meant to be my today. I think I'm just going to wear my past for the rest of my life. And today might as well be the day. And we'll just see people wearing their past. Or you'll see people. I see a lot of Christians put this one on. I think I'm just going to wear fear today. You know what? I think I'm just going to put this on today. And I see Christians who God commands us to be a witness to people, to share his love and his faith and his goodness. There's been people in your life, you never even told them you've been coming to church because you're afraid that they'll reject you. You're afraid that they'll deny your life to tell them about Jesus. And we put on fear. And God hasn't called us to live in fear, has he? God's called us to live in faith. God's called us to live in boldness. Some of you put on fear because I know my dream is big, but I don't want to walk toward my dream. Some of you just, it's easy to wear fear, and I see a lot of people walk in fear, friends. I wish to God that we would just hear Jesus like those people hear the host on what not to wear. Jesus is telling you in the morning before you're about to walk out the house. I wish we would hear what he says. He says to us what my wife says to me about 30% of the time when I'm getting ready to walk out the house, when she says, you really aren't thinking about wearing that, are you? What? I don't know how many times I gotta tell you, purple doesn't go with red. Gray doesn't go with brown. I don't know the color clash system, man. It just feels good to me, right? And this is what Jesus does when we want to put on our past. You really aren't thinking about walking out wearing that, are you? Because I paid for that past. I died for that past. I bled for that past. I still pray earnestly. Scripture says that he is right now interceding for you and I. I have done everything in my life to take care of that past. You really aren't walking outside with that thing on. I've taken care of it with my blood. You don't have to put that wardrobe on anymore. Instead of wearing your past, Jesus will show you what to wear. Why don't you walk out one day and just wear a future? Why don't you walk out and just go, I think I'm not going to wear a past today. I think I'm going to act like I got a tomorrow. I think I'm going to act like I got a future in front of me that God made. Anybody want to live in a future? How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Let's start wearing futures. Or why don't we get to the point? Man, this thing's far away. Why don't we get to the point where we decide I'm going to wear some praise today. Where I decide, you know what, I'm just going to praise him today. I love what Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3. It says that God has something for you. It says to give unto them what? Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning and what? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I don't care how heavy the world gets. I don't care how heavy the challenge gets on your shoulder. The Bible says we need to put on praise because God will get you through no matter what, as long as you know who you're looking to. I'm going to wear praise. Anybody want to start praising this morning? Amen. Let's wear praise. Well, why don't we just be people? I say, you know what? I think I'm going to wear forgiveness today. I'm not going to wear my past. I'm not going to wear my guilt. I'm going to wear forgiveness. I'm going to wear the fact that I am forgiven. How many know we are forgiven? How many know we are forgiven? Let me make this statement. I don't want you to generalize it. And I'm not talking about just your neighbor. Ready? You are forgiven. Your job is to receive it and walk in it. Put it on every day. How many want to wear forgiveness? Amen. I'm talking wear forgiveness. Somebody better catch forgiveness. Amen. Or joy. Did you know this? Check this out. The people of God can smile. We're supposed to be happy, friends. You'd be shocked how many saints of God look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. It's just like, what in the world? You've been changed from the inside out and you look like whatever. You look like a dog. I mean, it's just crazy. It says that God's give you the oil of joy for mourning. Put on joy, amen. How many want to wear some joy? Amen. Like, we need to be people that know what to wear. Amen. Is anybody seeing the need that is screaming from Scripture that we need to change in here before we decide what needs to change out here? I want to ask Mary if she would to come as we close. If you'll let Him make you beautiful on the inside, you'll never struggle with your beauty on the outside. I hope you heard that. My God, I'm about to high five myself. That's some good preaching right there. Amen. Because your change is found in your belief. And from your life, you today, you have two choices. You can believe what God says about you and what God wants to do in your life as His creation. Or you can believe what culture wants to do in your life as its consumer. Where you'll chase after a standard you will never arrive at. Instead, you could just walk into an identity that He's already paid for. You're beautiful. Did you hear what I said? I hope you heard what I said. You're beautiful. I said you're beautiful. I told my wife that this week, and she said, ugh. And I said, well, you are. Thanks. And I was like, you know what? You got a self-confidence issue. And I was like, you need to really plug into what I'm talking about this weekend. And she said, well, yeah, guess what? You're handsome. And I'm like, ugh. And she's like, see? I was like, yeah, I guess we all do struggle with that, don't we? Can you put that scripture, Song of Solomon, up, Micah? You are all together beautiful, my love. There is no flaw found in you. Talking to you, mamas. Life may have hit you upside the heart and the head 1,000 ways from Sunday, but it hasn't shaken your beauty. I'm talking to you, fellas. And I know that's weird to hear from another dude on the platform. You're beautiful, man. If we just got real, there are times we struggle with that. Teenagers, you're beautiful. You don't got to chase after what the culture of your school hallways tell you to chase after to become beautiful. God says you're beautiful just the way you are. And we need to be a church. We need to be a people that feeds and nourishes the beauty of each other. Somebody say a good amen to that. By getting rid of gossip. I'm talking about gossip here in a couple weeks. We know how dangerous gossip is to the body of Christ. I'm talking about gossip in a few weeks, and I'm not going to tell you which week, so you'll be here. Amen. But 1 Thessalonians says in chapter 5, verse 11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. It says encourage, right? Meaning that I have the ability to encourage you, to install courage into your life. Because how many know we all need courage? Because it takes courage to say, I'm beautiful. It takes courage to say that. If we just got real, it takes courage for you to get in front of a mirror and believe it and say it. It takes courage to do that. We have the ability to feed each other courage. Back to the video we watched at the beginning of this talk. Friends, your beauty is a truth that the world around you wants you to believe is a lie. And the world won in that lady's description of herself. She drew a lie. Your beauty is a truth that the world around you wants you to believe is a lie. And here within the church, we want to encourage the beauty that exists around you, especially today, to everyone in this room, including our mamas. We took a poll last week, and I'm closing, asking, you know, when is the last time you embraced your mother? When is the last time you hugged your mother? And you know, it wasn't a poll to make anybody feel bad or anything like that, but because I know there's like 22% of our people that were polled that said that they don't have that honor anymore. Maybe your mom has passed away, or you know, maybe you just don't have that honor anymore. And I'm sure those people, you're in this room, you would say to every last one of us, take every opportunity you get while you have it to embrace the people closest to you. Because the people closest to you are struggling with their own beauty. The people closest to you are struggling with this, and we have the opportunity to feed each other. So I want to encourage you today to embrace each other, hug each other, speak blessing to each other. Just brag on their beauty. Well, I don't want to get them cocky. Forget about that. Man, make them cocky. Make them feel like they're on top of the world with their looks. Just bless them, friends. Make them encouraged to believe in their beauty. Amen? Amen. I want to ask our communion teams if they would just to come and if they would just set the communion elements right here on both sides of these stages, stage sides. And I want to ask everyone in this room to just do me this one solid before we go. I'm going to pray now. And before we dismiss, after I pray, man, maybe just linger for a little bit. Like, I understand we all got Mother's Day plans and graduations to get to. Troy, thank you, Troy, for being just so incredible with scheduling graduations on Mother's Day. Just thank you. Let that go public. Amen. Just like, what? Anyway, you know, I know we got stuff to do, but take time today just to linger and let, open your heart and open your ears to let God just whisper to you how beautiful you are. Because God speaks to us. I believe that religion is not just what we do for Jesus. Religion is what life, doing life with Jesus, right? And God speaks to you. He speaks to you through his written word. He speaks to you through people, but he also speaks to you in your thoughts. He speaks to you in that deep part of your life. And let him in there. Let his whisper just tell you who you are. Just open up. And maybe if you got time, just sit here for a little bit. Come and take communion. We're not going to dismiss from the back to the front. In your own time, you get up when you want here as soon as we pray and just take communion and head back to your seat or grab the elements for communion. Go back to your seat and take communion with your family or by yourself. And just so you know, when you're taking communion, that just reveals how valuable you are. It's representing a Savior who came just to lay his life down for you. That's how crazy he is about you. Just let him speak your beauty here today. Amen. Let him in and start wearing the identity he's provided. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are. God, you're